In this episode, what we're going to talk about is we're going to get a look into the head of your partner. I mean, have you ever wondered what your partner's talking about or why they do the things that they do? I'm going to go all in on what your partner says versus what they are meaning to say so that you can actually understand them and like really get to the heart of things.
Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Mark Johnston here with the Thriving Marriage Podcast. Thank you so much for coming back to this podcast. And in my humble opinion, you know, the number one podcast about marriage in the world. Thanks to every single one of you for listening in as we continue our mission to help couples all over the world create that thriving marriage that you're all looking for. In this episode, what we're going to talk about is we're going to get a look into the head of your partner. I mean, have you ever wondered what your partner's talking about or why they do the things that they do? I'm going to go all in on what your partner says versus what they are meaning to say so that you can actually understand them and like really get to the heart of things. So I'd like you to please listen in to the end because we've taken a lot of time to prepare this. And at the end, we will have a special offer as well. But before we get into all of that, I want to go into our client win of the week. This one is coming in from Cammy with permission. So Cammy says, long story short, I had a rough year with COVID, as I'm a nurse, she's saying. It affected me and I struggled with stress and depression. Meanwhile, my husband got to be really close with an existing female friend at the gym. An emotional affair happened. My husband was convinced he wanted out and was even convinced the marriage was a mistake in the first place, claiming he had doubts without realizing it. He was 100% sure and met with a lawyer, and he was so cruel and mean as I crumbled and cried daily for weeks. He watched me suffer, but couldn't let himself feel remorseful because then guilt would mess with his mind. Well, I did the program, Cammy shares. I took it very serious. I sat in front of the computer for a few days and completed the whole course in a few days. However, some things were not fixed that quickly. But I listened to Coach Shane. Coach Shane is a wonderful coach on our team, by the way. She was amazing, even if advice was small acts. And I felt like no progress was happening at first, even though it was. It all worked. Prioritizing self-care again made him see a change and made him curious. Doing the opposite of what he expected me to do when in an argument totally threw him for a loop. Everything she said worked. First, he started having conversations with me again. Then he eventually laughed and joked again. Then he came back to our bed because his back hurt from the other bed. Then eventually everything was normal again and a conversation had to be held to know where I stood. At first it was, I'm going to hold off on divorce, but I still don't see us working. Then it was, I don't want a divorce anymore, but I don't know if changes will last. Then it became as if we were newlyweds again. That's Cammy's story. a little bit longer here, but I wanted to share this one in particular because I know a lot of you have felt in similar circumstances where your partner has said that they want a divorce, that they are 100% sure that they're out. There's nothing that's going to change their mind. This is what we're all about here with the Thriving Marriage and the Facebook group and in this podcast is we look for solutions to a lot of these hopeless situations. Congratulations, Cammy. Of course, you know, we never assume that, you know, that once you've made some changes that everything's all fixed and better. And I'm sure Cammy has some way to go, but it sounds like she's in a much better place than she was previously. So congratulations to her. So I'd like to start off with a question. If any of you can, I'm paying attention to the comments today, and I would really appreciate comments as we don't have Heather here for me to bounce some ideas off of. But starting with a question. What are some things that your spouse says that are different, a little bit different from what they actually mean? Have you ever encountered that? Have you ever gotten into a situation where you're sure that your husband or wife or your partner is saying something, but they don't actually mean it? Well, Heather put out a poll the other week, certainly if you want to add in some comments here, I will see it. And I see Jonathan saying hi. Hi, Jonathan. But I know several of you responded to this. One of the comments here was saying that her husband says his apologies were, "I'm sorry you misunderstood me," instead of, "I'm sorry I hurt your feelings," when he said something mean. Another comment from another person in the group says, saying, "I would never cheat," after they got caught yet again cheating, or, "I'm not getting back with my abusive first husband," after, just before they move in with that person. I'm wondering whether you are hearing some of these things where your partner says something and it's not really what they mean to say. That's what we're going into. And certainly, like I said, put in some comments. I'd love to hear what some of your partners are saying that seems a little bit confusing, and I'd like to comment on it. Here's the thing. Dealing with major relationship issues is hard. And it's not surprising that we see a little bit of ambiguity, that we see a little bit of dancing around with subjects. Jonathan says that his wife is telling him that she isn't in love with him, yet she keeps coming around and is okay with him flirting with her. And it's like things like this are really confusing. They might be saying, "I'm absolutely done with the relationship, and there's nothing that can be done anymore." And I see this a lot, it's much like what Jonathan was saying right here. They might be saying that, and yet they come over and there might end up being a sexual encounter. You end up getting in bed together, or there might be flirting, or there might be some of this back and forth. And like I said, dealing with major relationship issues is it's hard and it's confusing. And if you're facing possible separation or even, that dreaded word, divorce, it wouldn't be surprising that certain topics, certain feelings, certain thoughts are avoided or talked around or even argued about. And what I see with these situations is it creates something where there's very little room for understanding. So what is going on here? This is like a big bulk of what I wanted to talk about here today. It's like, what is going on when you're seeing comments like Jonathan's there, or any other of these mixed messages, or any of these situations where, like, some other people were commenting where their partner's saying one thing and then doing something else. And I'm sure at least some of you out there, you would like to understand what your partner is trying to say, whether it's complaints or avoidance or arguments. Even healthy discussions around those unhealthy parts of the relationship can all be boiled down to a simple question. And I want everyone to pay attention to this right here. The question is, what does my partner want from this? I'm going to say that again. What does my partner want? Let's take some examples here for just a second. I'm going to take Jonathan's example, because Jonathan, I've seen you all over the comments here. Here's Jonathan, who's saying his wife is saying that he isn't or she isn't in love with him anymore, and yet there's this allowance of flirtation. If we start asking this question, what is wanted here? I imagine we can get a little bit more to the bottom of it. I can imagine, in a situation here where she's saying that she's not in love, there's probably a lot of hesitation. There's probably some wanting to protect herself, to make sure that she doesn't get hurt again, that she doesn't experience a situation where she's putting a lot of trust into the relationship and then is let down. Or if we go into, some of the comments, there was a comment where this gentleman's wife was saying, "I'm never going to cheat." And then she gets caught cheating. Like, here's a situation where something is wanted in these interactions. We can make guesses. My guess after seeing, after talking with like hundreds of couples individually, just like, I don't even know how many people I've talked to about their relationships at this point. But after talking to so many people, I can make some guesses. If they're saying they're not going to cheat again, and then they go off and cheat again, there's probably some desire to keep some peace there. There's probably some hesitation to discuss problems and concerns within the relationship that are getting, where those problems are being resolved outside of the relationship. But this is the big theme here, is that a lot of times when people are dancing around the subject, when they're dancing around or avoiding, or they're saying something that they don't really mean, there is something that is wanted. You might have heard any one of these dreaded phrases, and I'm going to explain each of these. You might have heard, "I love you, but I'm not in love with you," or "I need to find myself," or "You won't ever change," or another version of that is, "I can see some changes, but I don't think that they're actually real or lasting," or "I'm in love with someone else." And I want you to comment, like, are you seeing any of those specific complaints, concerns, statements in your relationship? Most of these can be boiled down to a basic need. And I'm going to admit, I like to borrow ideas from other sources. I like to see what some of the other experts are looking at. And I like to take in ideas that aren't necessarily 100% applied to relationships and then bring them in to our discussion here. In this case, this is a idea from a woman, Chloe Madonis. I think she's a very smart person with this specific topic, but she has this theory on basic emotional needs. And I really think that this is a really key aspect in understanding what your partner is trying to get to. And I'm seeing a couple comments here, both from Bradley and Jonathan, like, that all those comments are heard. But like I said, basic emotional needs. Most of these can be boiled down to one of these six, whether that's a need for connection or belonging, which is a sense of closeness with another person, or a need for certainty, security, or comfort, which is like a sense of expected outcomes and trust and safety. Maybe there's a need for uncertainty or variety or fun or challenge. It's this sense of excitement in exploring the unknown and discovering new things. Or maybe a need for significance, a sense of feeling as though you matter, that you're a priority, that your choices, your feelings, your thoughts are being considered. Now, those tend to be the primary concerns that I see most of the time in relationships. And there are two other ones that I do see sometimes. There's a need for a growth, a sense that things are getting better. And lastly, a need for contribution, a sense that what you do actually matters in the greater scheme of things. And I want you to give some thought to this idea for just a second. What if every single complaint, every request, every argument, every time that someone has avoided a conversation, every time that they are expressing that they love you, but they're not in love with you, or that they, they need to find themselves. What if all of those can be described in terms of one of these basic six needs? And I want you to think about this for a second. And if you can kind of figure out what need is my partner looking for, please comment in the comments below. But, think about it for a second, put in a comment. But then the question, why is this important? Why would it be important to look at the complaints, the arguments, the things that your partner is saying, and describe it in terms of one of these basic needs? Now, here with High Thrive Coaching and in this podcast, a big part of what we try to do to repair relationships is try to create some better understanding. I want to like help you understand this bit right here, that a lot of times people start pulling away from their relationships because, you know, one, they don't feel like some of their concerns can be resolved, or two, you know, they don't feel very well understood. They don't feel like they're on the same page with their partner. They don't feel like the goals are in common. But there's a big piece of needing some understanding to make things better. And if you can help understand your partner's actions, why they're pulling away, or why they might not want to work on things anymore, you're now like two steps ahead of where you were before. I want to give an example here. So my wife, like, I'm going to admit, this is like a strength of my wife and I. My wife, Jennifer, and I, we really like to get into like personal development. We like to examine our own thoughts about things. So I recognize that that's not everyone. But I can recall a point not too long ago. Well, actually, no, it was some years ago. And my wife was really feeling unloved and unsupported. At the time, we had just had a child, and things were really, really hectic. And I was hearing these complaints of like not feeling this connection, not feeling loved. And I was really confused here, because I was sitting there thinking, okay, I'm putting in a lot of effort. I'm being very present as much as I can be. I'm trying to prioritize the relationship. And here is my dear wife who says, I don't feel very loved or connected. And I was genuinely confused, because I was putting in all this effort. It just wasn't being seen. And I went back to some of these things that I'm talking to you all about today. I started asking, okay, what is my wife actually wanting here? Now, luckily for me, my wife and I, we have a very open sort of relationship, in terms of we are very open about how we feel about things. I was able to go to her directly and ask some of these questions. I was saying, okay, look, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing these complaints. I'm also trying to put in some effort. What is it that you're looking for? And, you know, when she really thought about it, she was saying, hey, look, I'm feeling stuck at home. I'm feeling like you're not prioritizing us getting out and really connecting outside of the house. My wife was wanting some adventure, and it was coming out as something else. But, you know, if we boiled it down to some of these basic needs, there was this need for some variety and fun and excitement in her life. And when I knew this, when I understood what was going on, I instead of coming right at a solution and being like, well, you just need to get out more, I said, okay, here's this need for variety and excitement in her life. And we were able to have a discussion about what are some many ways that we can add some more of this into our relationship. This is what it's all about. You create some understanding, you understand, you know, what needs are your partner's looking for, you're much better equipped to approach and discuss some solutions. But I want to get into these very specific statements that I mentioned earlier. And I'm just checking in with comments, and I'm seeing some things like Rachel saying that her husband wanted to feel wanted and important and significant, and how there's this complaint that the children were prioritized. Another great example: when we understand what the basic need is, we can now start approaching a discussion of solutions. Let's get into some of these specific examples here. You know, we put out a few statements that are very common if your partner is pulling away. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I need to find myself. You won't change, or these changes won't last, or I'm in love with someone else. So what's going on here? We'll start with the first one. You ready, guys? I love you, but I'm not in love with you. What? And I'm gonna make some generalizations here. Very. I want to point out, before I give you my interpretation, my guesses on these things, If this is a really big struggle for you, I really recommend that you either meet with someone from our team or another professional to really examine it. But I'm going to give you some generalizations here. So, like I said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Very likely, what this is trying to communicate, it's stating a loss of connection. I tend to see this sort of statement in a lot of situations where there's not really any huge problems. They're not having these big blow-up fights. They're not like at each other's throats. It's a statement almost like they've drifted apart, the couple. Very rarely when I hear this, do I hear expressions of hate. In fact, your partner who's saying this probably even wants the best for you. They just don't feel close or intimate to you anymore. And that's the big problem. They're saying, why do I want to be in a relationship where I don't feel this deep connection? Now, another possibility here, one other one. So, first off, I would be looking at, loss of connection. Do you feel like you belong? But the other one that is also a likely culprit in this situation is perhaps your partner hasn't felt like a priority. Rachel was pointing out like her husband or she recognized that she was putting her children first. And I'm wondering if a little bit of this was going on in that situation. Your partner might understand that you needed maybe to focus on kids or work. And they get it. They understand that things get in the way. In other words, it's still a loss of connection, but also a sense that they themselves or what they needed wasn't important enough. And so like, oh, it's an understandable loss of connection. You had to focus on kids and you had to focus on work. They're not going to complain about that, or they might, but it still results in this drifting apart. And therefore we get this statement, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Like I said, I'm going to go through each of these statements and give you like a possible interpretation. And then I want to talk just a little bit about, before we wrap up, what to do with these things. So stick around for that, just to let you know. The next statement, I need to find myself. And oh, I will tell you, I can relate to this. I at the same time, I have a hard time. Sometimes this is a hard one to deal with. I want to point out very likely what this is communicating, just right off the bat. Very likely, this is a statement of a loss of significance. It could also, it is likely that like not feeling a priority, but sometimes we get a different flavor of this. Like needing to find myself could also really indicate this loss of fun or variety or challenge, this excitement in life. And I will often hear this statement after years of accommodating other people's needs. That I will almost always find this statement said when a person keeps pushing down their own needs for their kids, for their spouse, for other people, and haven't had much of an ability to choose their own interests, friends, and hobbies. I mentioned I can relate to this in some ways because I do see, I do hear this comment here and there, just in lighter terms from my wife, who is very, very motivated by adventure and having a lot of variety and excitement in her life, and also is the kind of person that really likes to accommodate other people. Now, I'm saying this because this doesn't, a lot of these statements, and this one in particular, doesn't have to mean like the end of a relationship. I hear this complaint occasionally from my wife, and then we address it. But I want to point out like one of the key things here. You might be saying, well, we get out on vacation and we get out on adventure and we go for like these hikes and we go and do all these things. These complaints are coming from their own perception. You might believe that you have created plenty of ability for your partner to choose their own interests, for them to get out and with their friends or get out on adventures. It doesn't matter what you believe in this instance. The fact that they are saying this means that they are looking for more of an ability to choose themselves. And whether you feel like that's right or wrong, it does need to be acknowledged. And like I said, I have to deal with this in my own marriage, and that's what really makes it work for Jennifer and I, is when I hear these sort of things from my wife, I hear it out and I listen to it, I acknowledge it, and we do something about it. And I do see like some problems in other relationships, like when these complaints come up, that a lot of times those excuses come in. Well, we got out on the vacation, we got out on the hikes. Okay. This is what they're trying to communicate. They need some more of these things. The next one, this idea that you won't change, or the changes that you're making aren't going to last. When I'm working with people, with couples on reconciliation, 99% of the time, I will hear this at some point. Very super common. One of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up today, and very likely what this is looking, what this person is looking for, and when we boil it down to these basic emotional needs, it's this expression of a loss of security or certainty. You may feel as though you've made a ton of changes. You've done lots of things to fix things. This is what I hear from my clients. Like they say, I'm doing everything that my partner wants me to do. And yet they're still saying this. They're still saying, I just don't believe that the changes are real. It's coming from, the statement is coming from the fear of things going back to the way they were. Once again, like when we boil that down, that need for security and certainty, they're saying, I don't trust in this right quite yet. I don't feel safe in this quite yet. Very likely this comes from years of attempts to make things better, perhaps through discussion, or perhaps through feedback, or perhaps with some directed action by your partner. But at this point, they just don't have the confidence in any further attempt to fix things. And so we get the statement. Now, this does not mean the end. Remember our example earlier today, Cammy's husband was 100% convinced that he needed to get a divorce, and yet they're back together. It simply means that when you're hearing a statement like this, it simply means that there needs to be a focus on rebuilding trust from the ground up. And like I said, I see this in 99, like almost every single one of the clients that I work with, I hear this at some point. So we're very used to dealing with this. If you're struggling with this, let me know. Maybe we'll have another podcast on this subject specifically. If that's what you guys are interested in, let us know. Lastly, that statement, I'm in love with someone else, or some variation of this, like this other person makes me happy, or you never gave me what I, it's this statement of I see better things elsewhere. I'm sure that many of you were shocked when you heard this, when it was first presented to you. This isn't always about a new romantic partner either. It's like I said, it's this idea that I can be happier elsewhere. Whether I can be happier without you, maybe I don't want to be married, I'm in love with someone else. Well, lots of variations on this. Most often, this is about a need within the relationship of feeling significant, being put second for many years. Now, why this comes out as a new partner sometimes is new partners are often really appealing. They're likely filling a gap that the cheating spouse, the person who's that partner who's leaving, may not have even been aware existed. Maybe they wanted someone to pay attention to them. Maybe they wanted someone to be really interested in what they had to say, their hobbies, this new hobby that they're into. Perhaps they just sit down with them and are present with them. Whatever it is, it's a lot more about the need that is being fulfilled and a lack of trust in this being able to be fixed within the relationship. So when we boil it down to those six needs, it's something, one of those basic needs, and that lack of security, that lack of certainty in the relationship. Like I said, we have these common phrases, and whether it's I love you, but I'm not in love with you, and there's this lack of connection or a loss of feeling significant, or I need to find myself, and I need, you know, this loss of variety and excitement in the relationship, or whatever it happens to be. This is, you know, when we boil it down to these basic needs, we are much better able to address these problems. I was mentioning this example of my wife and I, my wife who sometimes expresses maybe a lesser version of this idea that she needs to find herself. Why this hasn't ruined my marriage with my wife, Jen, why this hasn't created a lot of problems is, you know, here's this complaint, this thing that she wants. Recall the question that I wanted you all to consider. What is my partner wanting here? Like I said, my wife and I are really fortunate that we have this open communication. And why this doesn't destroy our marriage is because we take time to really consider that want and that need here. Just the other week, you know, my wife, she really enjoys bouncing around between new interests. But just the other week, she had an opportunity to share some of her interests in a class format, you know, to have a group of women really listen to her. And one of the things that I made sure that I did here was I took the time to really support her in being able to engage in this really meaningful activity for where she was able to find herself. So even though this complaint comes up that, like, I need some more fun, excitement, I need to have some, you know, find myself a little bit, it's become a point of strength within our relationship because I really understand that basic emotional need that's there, and I take the time to support that need for her, with her. Not that, you know, not that I have to do that, not that it's required of me or that it's demanded of me, but our relationship feels fulfilling. It, you know, she expressed to me how grateful she was that I was there supporting her with this interest of hers. And so it added to the satisfaction and fulfillment in the relationship. And my wife does the same for me in many cases. So what I'm getting at here is we can either take it on that healthy end, like, because I consider my marriage with my wife, Jen, very healthy. And we can say, okay, here's this situation where we can use this information, we can use this extra understanding to really build the relationship up. And we can also use it on this lower end here, where things are a bit more in a crisis, to understand what's wrong and where we can prop up the relationship and where we can fill in the gaps. And this is a huge, huge step in getting a little bit closer to fixing the relationship. Now, I completely understand that many of your partners may not be willing to have these conversations. And once again, every one of your situations, I understand that many of your situations are very different. And this is why I say, please get some professional help around these situations. It's not enough to, you know, even listen to good information like the stuff that myself and Heather put out there. It's always better to have an outside perspective to look into things and see what's going on and help you direct you in the right direction, put you in the right direction, help you get to the right direction. So if you're looking for more information like this, please subscribe. If you want to see how we help couples in a variety of different problems, it would really help us out if you go over to the YouTube channel and subscribe to our channel over there. If you're looking for more direct help, let us know. You can always go to our website, highthrivecoaching.com/apply, and get a free consultation to see what kind of help would be best for you. So before we sign off today, I want to get into our marriage mythbuster. Every week we dive a little bit into the common misconceptions, common erroneous thinking within relationships. And we almost always pull these directly from comments that we see right there in our YouTube channel and in our Facebook group. So these are real life examples, people making assumptions that just are not going to lead to the right place within your relationship. Today, I want to talk about the myth, this idea that you'll automatically know what the other person wants. You should know what the other person is thinking, what they want, what they need in the relationship. And wow, you wouldn't believe how often I hear this idea. Now, it's not like super common as in every single relationship, but I think there is some sort of part of this in many relationships. And I think it comes around from this idea of like some other related ideas. Like if my partner loved me, then I shouldn't have to tell them what they did wrong or how to make me happy, or I shouldn't have to tell them what they're supposed to do in the relationship. I just want to start off by saying this is so just objectively wrong. It's plain wrong. It's so wrong that it's listed as one of the common what are called cognitive distortions, which basically is an error in thinking within psychology. So just the 10-second background in cognitive distortions. Cognitive distortions is this idea that there are certain ideas that if you hold on to these sort of ideas, it's generally going to lead to either mental health problems or relationship problems. It's going to result in real life consequences. Specifically, this is a cognitive, this kind of thinking is related to this idea of mind reading, that someone else should know what I'm thinking, feeling, or wanting, or I know what they think, feel, or want. I think a lot of it, like I said earlier, is coming from this idea that if my partner loved me, they should understand why I'm upset or silent, or how important a specific date was, or any number of encounters that are significant. And this is what it's all about. It's where do we have some differences in what is important to us? So you might say, this specific date with I've seen this as a real life example. I saw with one client whose spouse was upset with them because my client didn't remember the anniversary of the first day that they kissed and didn't acknowledge it that specific year. Here was something that was significant to my client's wife, and it didn't hold the same significance for him. And here was this idea that came up that my client didn't care about his wife because he didn't recognize this thing that she wanted, some recognition for this day. Oftentimes, like what's going on in this, like when people start holding on to these cognitive distortions, this idea of mind reading, like this is often what fuels a lot of anxiety and depression and some problems within relationship. Oftentimes, the truth with this is that even after years of being married, of being around each other, there's often still frequent misreads, misinterpretations, misunderstandings, etc. One of the things I love about my marriage with my wife Jennifer is that, we don't make that assumption. We are very open about communicating what we want and how we're feeling. And a really healthy relationship is a relationship that communicates openly and creates room for understanding without assumptions. So that's what I have to say about that sort of idea. As I said before, if you are, I've seen a lot of comments here as I've been talking, a lot of people talking about how they've heard these statements, that there are some like there's some hard feelings, some people feeling that they haven't been prioritized. Certainly, if you're saying, hey, I don't have any other means, keep watching our videos. We do pay attention to the comments, and we try to tailor our content towards what you guys are looking for. So that's certainly option number one. Like, please keep watching us and let us know what you would like to see. We would love to help you. But if this is a really serious situation, let us know as well. Either come and talk to us directly, www.highthrivecoaching.com/apply, or let us know in the comments that you would like to talk to someone. We do reach out over Facebook sometimes, and we do try to talk things through just to check in and see what the best sort of course of action might be. So either way, please let us know. We would love to, we're here to help all of you. So, just so you all know, we are not gonna, Heather and I will not be doing a podcast next week. It's the holidays, it's Christmas and New Year's and all of that. We will be returning after the new year with another podcast, three melting phrases that will make your partner absolutely fall for you. So if you're looking for how to build up that attraction within your relationship, look for the podcast then. And if you would like to see some other content, let us know below in the comments. All right. Have a good day. Have merry holidays, happy holidays, whatever you might be celebrating, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.